The home of the future is one that will accommodate our rapidly rising numbers of older Americans. Mike Dodd and Debbie Hartzler of LifeWise Renovations explains the how and the why of that trend in this edition of the Bioethics Channel. The Bioethics Channel is a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information on the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Mike, you're the founder and president of LifeWise Renovations in Kansas City. Your company is a member of the housing group of the KC4 Aging and Community Initiative. You've been a traditional builder, a remodeler, but now you've developed a business model based on the fact that America is aging. Tell us about how you came to that business model.
My wife and I have talked about developing a business model along these lines for about the past 10 years. My wife has a 30-plus year history in home health care and hospice. She owns a consulting business that operates both nationally and internationally, brings to the table a wealth of information with regard to home care and hospice. And jokingly, about 10 years ago, she mentioned that as we aged ourselves, we would probably be looking at moving into a commune with all of our friends because we're all too independent and free-spirited to the extent that we would not consider assisted living or other alternative forms of living like that. So it was kind of a joke at the time, and she referred to it fondly as the bossy butts because all the women in her group are amazingly bossy, and the moniker kind of stuck over the years. So
it was something where you professionally, both of you in your professions, recognized that there would be a need for this in the coming years.
Absolutely, yes.
And with you, Debbie, as an occupational therapist, you look at these things through the eyes of a caregiver then. And what does that bring to the table then in terms of being able to either renovate a home or build a home that is accommodating to people who are aging?
Well, I like to start out by explaining a little bit about what occupational therapy is, because I find that not everybody is aware of this profession. It has a name that makes people think that you're working on getting them a job because it's occupational therapy. But in truth, that is how it started. After World War I and even before that, people in the medical communities found that if they had people doing occupations or tasks, which we call purposeful activity, that they actually got better quicker. And they actually found that purposeful activity was a very meaningful way of rehabilitating people. And that was the founding of it. Now, as we transition to now, in current day, we find that the occupations or the purposeful activity that people do, we call them activities of daily living. They revolve mostly around bathing, dressing, grooming, but then also looking into things like medicine management, being able to do homemaking tasks and cooking. And all those things play into rehabilitation. And so as we look in occupational therapy, when we're working with clients like in a hospital setting where my background is, we look at where do they want to go and what is their goal, and all of them tell us they want to go home. And so when they have some disability or something that's impairing them, we work with them on trying to accommodate those issues that they're dealing with so that they can go back to their home. Oftentimes we find that it's the home itself that is limiting that person. And that's what's so unique and wonderful about the business model that Mike has put together, because he, in fact, sought out the input of an occupational therapist, which is what makes his LifeWise so unique in the community.
So, Mike, then, as people look at how you renovate and how you build, what is it that people will look for? What are some basics that people can anticipate that would be part of their new home or a remodeled home to be able to accommodate these needs?
Well, first and foremost, we're experts in construction, so we understand what it is to make the alterations and modifications in the home. But all those modifications are based upon the recommendations of people like Debbie and registered occupational therapists, because they certainly understand what the physical requirements or the physical abilities of the inhabitants will be, and we take our cue from them. So whatever their recommendations are for transfer areas, especially in bathrooms and in kitchens and places like that, where people are transferring from one location to another, based upon, you know, their age, their strength, their physical abilities. You know, we can do things as simple as install grab bars in strategic locations in bathrooms and hallways. We can widen hallways in older homes, and frankly, much of the housing stock in Kansas City, Prairie Village, Leawood, Brookside, you know, much of the inner part of the city have narrow hallways, narrow doorways, things like that. Though, from our perspective as contractors, those are easily changed and modified to allow for wider entries for perhaps wheelchairs or walkers or things of that nature. But the bottom line for us is we take our cue from what are the recommendations of the occupational therapist might be.
So, Debbie, what you look at are things like safety and comfort, ease of access, different things like that?
Yeah, exactly. what we have developed is a assessment that we can go and actually do one-on-one with the person and the inhabitants of the home. And we actually do go through a number of physical abilities as well as sensory, because we can't forget that vision and hearing are also big limiters for people. So we'll be looking at all their physical abilities, or ability to, like as Mike was saying, transfer, get from place to place, and get around in their home, and have them help us identify what the activities are that are causing them the most difficulty. And based on that, make recommendations, as Mike was talking about. Another big area is just entryway into a home. We see that, as well as the kitchen, the bathroom, and even the laundry room are big areas that usually people need attention to be able to function more safely. But you're right, safety is a big issue. And although most of us don't feel like we are aging, sadly, most of us are.
I feel it every day.
And there's the good, because that's better than the alternative of not. So,
yeah.
But basically, as we do age, some of those senses do decline. And so we have found that safety within the home can be easily, just by making a few changes, increased greatly.
Mike, your company is involved with the KHC4 Aging and Community Initiative. What was it that attracted you and your company to this endeavor?
We've known Myra Christopher for many, many years, given her medical background and starting Center for Practical Bioethics a number of years ago, and my wife's history in home health care. Myra and my wife, Kathy, go back a long way. So we've, you know, from afar, we've admired what Myra has done and certainly kept track of that. When we decided to evolve our business and create this division in our company to deal with the aging in place market, we knew that we were going to have to get involved on a broader scale in the community, and so this made perfect sense for us to come here.
Now, you have something that's called CAP certification. Talk to us about that and why that's important in relation to this discussion.
CAPS is a certification that's administered by the National Association of Home Builders. The acronym stands for Certified Aging in Place Specialist. I'm not sure exactly how many CAPS certified individuals there are across the country. I'm going to guess and say it's in the hundreds. But there are probably as many real estate agents, interior decorators, occupational therapists that comprise a group every bit as large, if not larger, as the contractors themselves who hold a CAP certification. So people have used it as a continuing education possibility and an educational forum to further their own education, to satisfy CEU requirements in many cases. I would have to tell you that most of the contractors that have taken the CAP certification are probably more builder members than they are remodeler members, and not too many people, based upon our research over the marketplace of the last year, has indicated that they're actually using it in a business model or in a business vein.
But it is something that, as the years go by and as more people are going to be looking for expertise within this arena, they'll be looking for that kind of certification, won't they? Or should they?
Absolutely, they should, yes. I'm a huge believer in education and being involved in trade associations. There really are two trade associations that represent our industry. The other one is the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, or NARI. And it's actually the only trade association that truly represents remodelers specifically, where NAHB is really a builder-driven organization with a very small remodeling component. However, Ironically, CAPS isn't an AHB program. The other certifications that I hold are all NARI certifications.
Debbie, as an occupational therapist and as you become engaged in this, has there been, what have you found? Is there anything that surprised you at all as you've been starting to move forward on this?
Yeah, actually, I've been doing a lot of research, and I can throw out a couple of figures that I've come up with just searching through the internet and doing independent study. They said that every 18 seconds, an older adult is treated in the emergency room for a fall. And more than one-third of adults 65 and older suffer injuries from falls. And the cost of a fall injury averages about $19,440. The other thing that struck me is that 20 to 55% of these falls, and those over 60, occur inside of the home. And of those, 75% during the performance of daily routine tasks. So that just lends itself, when we talked about the safety aspect, I was very surprised by that amount. But the takeaway good message that I came up with was that 30 to 50% of the falls can be prevented with home modifications. So while that is a startling number, every 18 seconds an older adult's treated in the emergency room, we could probably decrease that significantly by doing some simple home modifications. So those were the surprising statistics that I've found recently.
Mike, does that align with what you and your wife have been thinking about over the years with this?
It does. certainly what we're preaching, I guess, is a more of a proactive approach. I mean, we would like to get to the point in our business model and in our dialogue with potential consumers and our client base that they should prepare for the future, be proactive in their posture relative to this, and think about home modifications in their home as an investment in their future, not an expenditure. And that's going to be somewhat of an uphill battle in terms of changing mindsets about that. But that's really what we set out to do with this.
Well, a final question then for both of you, and I'll start with you, Debbie. As we start to look to the years ahead, working with the KC4 Aging and Community Initiative, and as the sheer scope of the aging population becomes more apparent, what do you see in the years to come?
Well, I again, during the research, I found a couple of humorous things as well, and one of them talked about that we live in what we call Peter Pan housing, and that is that we live in houses for people that don't grow older. And I think that is somewhat true. I know in my case it is.
Our kids take them over. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it is hard to change your mindset of that you're actively doing all these things today, and tomorrow this second flight of stairs in my home is going to make it a lot more challenging for me to do the same things I'm doing today. So as we, as we tend to look ahead, the neat thing is that if you are going to do something, say you are going to remodel or take on a project like that, you can actually put steps in place now that you can use down the road so that you can stay in your home. And I think as the healthcare costs, as we know, are changing and seem to be going up instead of down, the way that you can also be more efficient and hopefully save some money too is to do some investing, as Mike was saying, and be proactive so that can in turn help us down the road where we don't have to outlay the cost for some of those things we call assisted living or just some other help within our home by doing some simple remodeling things now, or we call them home modifications. So,
Mike, your crystal ball, what do you see in the years ahead?
I see this as a tip of the iceberg right now. I think this marketplace will be absolutely huge in just a matter of perhaps as little as 18 to 24 months. We're right in the middle of the baby boom generation. I'm in my late 50s, and we've been an extremely affluent portion of the population with a great deal of influence and wealth and disposable income. And as right in the middle of that baby boom generation, we've always demanded things be our particular way. I don't mean that selfishly, but
well, we have
frankly,
been
that,
demanding, and we have.
We have. And as
Let's
we
be
age,
honest.
Yeah, as our generation ages, they will demand this for themselves. They will. Certainly, they'll demand it for their parents if they're still living, and be making decisions relative to their parents and their in their best interest and their health. But they'll make them for themselves, and I think I wouldn't go so far as to say they'd spare no expense. But where an older individual who may have lived through the Depression era might be less inclined to want to spend money, our generation will freely spend the money in order to maintain their health and their dignity and independence.
Mike Dodd is the founder and president of LifeWise Renovations in Kansas City. Debbie Hartzler is an occupational therapist working with that endeavor. And they are a member of the housing group for the KC4 Aging and Community Initiative. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the BioEpic Channel.